Hello and welcome to this edition of the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. This week, Pastor Don Bolt continues his series, Obedience to Christ, focusing this time on perfect love. As always, the notes for this and every sermon featured on this podcast are available at our blog, henriettacf.blogspot.com.
We've been working our way through this study, and we've gotten to the place where now we're talking about love in different ways. And this week we're going to talk about something called being perfect. All right. Now, I know that when you hear that word, there's sort of a connotation that goes with it that makes you uncomfortable with the idea of, you know, can we be perfect and that sort of thing. But I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to be perfect from a biblical standpoint. But we're going to begin with Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And the reason I smile every time that we get to this particular scripture is because when I first started into Bible school, I mean, like folks that believe like we believe were still a little new to me. And so going to Elam, and they were a little wild, you know, for my experience and that sort of thing. And I was sort of trying to make sure I had an anchor on reality in case they started getting like way out there for me. And I remember walking into a chapel service about my first or second week in Bible school, and they were singing a song that came from this particular scripture. And you have to understand my experience is I walked in, and they say something three times before they move on to the next thing. So I walk in, ye are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is not good. Okay. And that happens to be in this scripture. And so as we read through this, you'll understand a little bit why I sometimes smile when I hit that thing, because the rest of that scripture, which they did get to in the next line of the song, which is you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And what it's saying here is that anything that we're allowing to become so important to us that it interferes with our pursuit of God amounts to worshiping something other than him. Verse 6, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. And I just want you have authority in Jesus Christ to do what's about to be suggested here. That you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. You have to understand what it was like to go to church with these people, because this was something completely new, that sitting in the same church together, you had slaves and masters. And the message was that in Christ there was no difference between them. In the society there were huge differences, but in Christ there was no difference between the slave and his master. It was an amazing thing for them to begin to realize what Christ had done. So as those who have been chosen of God, remember we talked about this, 1 Peter chapter 1, the first couple of verses. You are chosen by the Father, you are sanctified by the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you have been chosen, again, is saying this. All right, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. For whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, and this is the scripture that we're going to just kind of center in on this morning. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so we're presented with this picture of new life in Christ. We're presented with what it means to really fully be a follower of Christ. And so we're going to take some time. We're going to walk through some of these scriptures that are in the study. If you have that sheet that we originally handed out, we can make them available. If you don't have them, it's also available, I believe, on the blog. Anyways, and it'll give you these scriptures that we're working through that are the commands of Christ. All right, so this one in Matthew 5:48 that says, "Be ye therefore perfect," okay? And let me read that scripture to you, and then I want to just talk to you a little bit about what does it mean to be perfect. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So now let's talk a little bit about what it means to be perfect, though. All right? And I want you to begin to develop this picture of what perfection is all about. Because the first thing I want you to understand, it means wholeness. It means to be whole and complete. Right? You know, there's times when you see something that isn't yet complete and you realize it isn't everything that it's supposed to be because it's not done yet. All right. And so, you know, the Bible is telling us that we should be seeking the Lord. We should be walking in obedience to him. And again, I just want to emphasize that the message today of perfection is not a message of perfection based on your own ability. Okay, it is a message of perfection, of completeness in him that is possible by the grace of God. That you're not going to accomplish this on your own. All right, this is something that God desired to pour out his grace into you, that your life would become much more than it's ever been. And so let's talk a little bit more about this. Okay, this idea of being whole and complete. So you're to be whole and complete as your heavenly Father is whole and complete. There's nothing lacking in God. And basically, God is calling us to here is to come into this place where God is so at work in us that there's nothing missing from us either. All right. Are you mature? All right. What does it mean to be mature? You know, you pick an apple off the tree and it's still green, and you know, it's not mature yet. It's until it ripens, unless it's a Granny Smith or something like that. But I mean, if it's not red yet, if it hasn't come into its fullness yet, if it isn't everything it's supposed to be, it's not going to taste right. It's not going to be what you're hoping for it to be because it's not mature yet. And there's going to be some places where we're going to talk about perfect love a little bit later. And I want you to understand that what it's pointing to here is mature love. What does it mean to love somebody from a place of maturity, a place where God has so worked in us that we've become what we're supposed to be, and we can now love like he loves, all right? And then this last little piece to an understanding of what it means to be perfect, everything that it was designed to be. You know, are you... this morning as you're hearing this message, are you everything that you're supposed to be? And because if you're everything that you're supposed to be, you know, then, you know, you're moving on into perfection as it's being talked about here in the scriptures. Okay, let's move on. Okay, then we move over here. You know, sell what you have and give alms. All right, let's take a look at this story. All right, Jesus is talking to somebody who is a young ruler. All right, and this discussion goes back and forth about what does he have to do to inherit eternal life. And so he says that he's already obeyed the commandments, and so Jesus says to him, if you wish to be complete, if you wish to be perfect, in other words, if you wish to be everything that God intended for you to be, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. All right, now,
I think a lot of people, when they hear this, you know, think, well, if I've got 6 cents in my pocket, give it away and go follow Jesus. And that's what he was asking of this person. Please, somebody help me. What was the other adjective that was used to describe the young ruler?
Rich.
That's right. Okay, that it was, he was the rich young ruler. And so what I want you to understand is that the thing that was standing between him and a wholehearted surrender to God was his great possessions, because it said he went away sorrowful because he had so many possessions. So let's just take a minute and think for a minute. Okay, so the goal that God has set for you is to become mature, to become complete, to become everything that he designed you to be. And so if you have a wise enemy, how does that enemy position himself between you and that goal and keep you from ever being able to attain that goal that God has set for you? You know, what are the things that he brings to bear on you to stop you from ever getting there? And, you know, and just think about it. And fear. You know, an enemy can use fear. You know, you fear, oh, goodness, I'm going to try to be something and I'm going to fail at it. And people are going to, you know, think I'm a fool for trying. And you're afraid of the judgments of people. You know, distractions. You know, I remember poor Kurt. He goes out and buys a new television set, and don't you know, that's the week that I decided to pick on television. And he says, I just bought a new flat screen television. And I said, you can watch TV, just watch what you watch, okay? You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see, you know, for the Father up above is looking down with love. Those of you who went to Sunday school know the song. But, you know, but it's the distraction. I mean, we live in a nation where distraction is huge. You know, the constant input of things that, I mean, goodness, who needs a prayer life when you got, you know, 50-inch, you know, flat screen and surround sound, okay? I mean, there's just so many things in the video games and the texting and the constant distraction, because remember, you know, healthy Christian diet, what was it? Okay, you needed the word, you needed prayer, you needed worship, you needed fellowship. Okay, those are things where God was calling you to himself, and the places where you connect with God and connect with other people so that we're growing together are these four things. And think about how much those distractions get in the way of us, you know, having the time to do those things. I mean, it's hard to have a good prayer life in this culture, you know, because of the constant demands, the constant distractions, you know, those kinds of things. Busyness, you know, busyness can get in the way of perfection. So many things that are out there that can work on us and keep us from ever getting to this place. So understand that you have an enemy that's working against you. You know, if you are the offense and you're trying to score in this game, the enemy has a defense that's trying to keep you from getting there. And so for the rich young ruler, it was his riches. It was his great possessions. And I will tell you that as Americans, possessions, you know, the stuff that we own that sometimes has a way of owning us can really be, you know, one of the greatest distractions. I know sometimes we would look at beautiful, beautiful homes. You know, I mean, we're talking like palaces. And people say, wouldn't it be nice to own a house like that? I said, yeah, the only problem is I wouldn't own it. It would own me, you know, because if you don't have the resources to get other people to come and be employed taking care of it, you become the slave of the thing that you own. And so you have to watch out for those things, because, and that's what the rich young ruler was confronted with. Luke 12, 32 through 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And to understand that the enemy of your soul, the one who'd like to keep you from ever getting here, it doesn't take long. I could follow you around for a week, and I would know the tendencies, the propensities, the you know, of your life. I would know the things that would become those things that would draw you away, and I would know this principle, because you know the enemy knows the scripture that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And all I have to do is just keep maneuvering things so that you're distracted by things that your heart desires, and can be tempted by them, tempted away from the Lord. And they don't have to be evil things. All right, they can just be things that just are, you know, wrong priorities and those sorts of things. And so this unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys, to understand in this world, You know, the things that get between us and God are things that can so easily be lost. They so easily can become worth nothing. And a lot of things that I could share about that, save that for another message. And this whole concept of that which is not bread, I'd like to just read something from Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And then the question is asked, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. You know, and the qualification, you know, to be able to come to God and receive all the things that, that God intends to fill your life is just to be thirsty. Everyone who thirsts, come. All right, but how the things of this world can blunt, can dull that appetite for the things of God. You know, and we need to learn to push past it and to push, you know, deep into the things that God desires to fill our lives with and be filled with the things that God has for us. What do we seek? Because if we seek, what did the Bible say? We'll find, okay? And so the thing you seek tends to be the thing that you find. And God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you find me. What is it that we value? What is the treasure that we're seeking? And do we treasure what God provides? If we love, if we value this world, we'll be filled with this world rather than with God. I'm going to move on here and just move into this next little piece here, and we're going to be done shortly. But this whole idea of love your enemies and doing good to them that hate you. And I'm just going to touch on this, and then when I come back the next time around, you know, which I realize is going to be in a couple of weeks, I kept thinking in my head that I was going to be back next week, but of course the congregation very generously has provided for my wife and I to, you know, spend a little time away, and so we'll be doing that, and so I'll see you in a couple of weeks on to finish this up, because I sort of knew when I was writing this, we wouldn't get through the whole thing, and that happens sometimes around here, and I hope you'll just be patient with me. But love your enemies, okay? Do good to them that hate you. And I remember, you know, as a young Christian, you know, and up against sometimes people that really, really are very hard on my walk of faith and just really, you know, tended to really make it hard to be a good Christian. In the face of that, how that God brought this teaching to bear upon me. And I'll share a little bit with you on the podcast, and the rest of the congregation just have to wait until I come back around. But when I was working in the steel plant, there was a guy, and Carl, if you're listening to this, God bless you, I learned a lot from you in ways that maybe you didn't intend, but hey, this guy named Carl, there's two Carls, and if you're from the steel plant, you know who you are. Very different stories attached to the two Carls. It's a very common name, I guess, around the steel plant now that I think about it. But anyways, but Carl would just, oh goodness, he found out I was a Christian, and he just rode me. Just rode me, just constantly mocking me out, just giving me a hard time, embarrassing me, just anything he could do just to you know, really get at me. And one day, one of the guys in the plant came up to me, and he said, hey, you know, we've been watching what Carl's doing, and you know what? We don't understand why he put up with it. Look, next time he does that, deck him, and we'll tell everybody he swung first. And that was back in the days when I looked like somebody who could deck somebody, okay? But anyways... And so I went home, you know, and I told the guy I didn't think it'd be necessary. I went home and I went to God and I said just the opposite. I said, God, it might be quite necessary for you to help me do something. What do I do with this guy? And I did not know what to do at all. And I don't know if you know what scripture dipping is, but it's when you really are a young Christian and you have not a concept or a clue as to what to do. And so there's this thing you would do is you close your eyes, open your Bible and point and see what the scripture was that you came up with. And no joke, I went home and did that because I just did not know what to do at all with Carl. And when I hit the scripture, all right. And anyways, first I hit it the first time in Matthew, I think. And it's, you know, love your enemies, you know, bless those. And I'm like, no, not that. And as I closed my Bible, opened it again, and put my finger down, and I got the same scripture in Luke. And anyways, and so this began to be the beginning of this whole thing. So I went back and just forgave the guy for all that he'd done, and actually had an opportunity to just, you know, tell him to his face that I wasn't going to hold all these things against him. Testament. Maybe I'll share a little more about that next week. If I've shared the story already, there are stories you'll hear more than once from me, so you should know that. It's not because I'm forgetful. It's just because I think you probably would benefit from it twice or even five times. Okay, so, you know, I'm not losing my mind. It's just I want to make sure the thing that I've got in my mind, on that thing maybe ends up in your heart to let God do the work in you that he did in me with it. And but I know that I'd gotten through, forgiving this guy and just, being very, getting a chance to talk to him and say all these wonderful things. And so I walked away. I got to tell you, I was feeling pretty good, and you know how that is. I think when you've really done what God asked you to do and you're feeling pretty good, and anyways, and all of a sudden I hear this voice down deep in my heart say, you're not done yet. And it's like, oh, so wait a minute. So you're saying like it also then that I need to I actually have to bless those that curse me. So I had to start looking for ways to be a blessing to Carl. And so we'll pick up from here next week, but let me just pray with you and we'll see. And I keep saying next week, it'll be a couple of weeks, but anyways, but Father, I pray that you take your word, that you plant it down deep in people's hearts and that you would just transform us, Lord. We desire to be perfect as you are perfect. Lord, we desire to be complete, to be whole, to be everything that you've designed for us to be. We desire maturity. We desire to be mature saints that know how to live for you and how to show your love to a watching and waiting world. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing on us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast produced every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. every week. We want you to know that we are available to you should you have a prayer request or a need. Just send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.